Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deliverance Live on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Apostle Gregory Martin. Your co-host tonight will be Elder Anthony Mason and Minister Nikki Cuthbert. For our panel this evening, we have Minister Nikki Cuthbert, we have Minister April Reeves, Elder Craig Blake, and Minister Ricky Castor, Minister Yvonne Watson, and Minister Daniel Martin, Evangelist Yvette Watson, Minister Antoinette Martin, and again, Elder Anthony Mason. For the panel tonight and for our Blog Talk listeners, we're continuing with our subject that we dealt with on this past Tuesday, and that is the parables of Jesus, the parables of Jesus. Just for a slight recap, I made mention on Tuesday that over 2,000 years ago, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received right back up to glory. And all this happened through the birth, life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Also, I made mention that the reason that a lot of people were trying to stop Jesus, and a lot of people was trying to keep him from getting the message out that he was trying to put out, and how that the Pharisees and Sadducees, or the religious leaders of that time, they sent the Roman soldiers to capture him and told them to bring him back to them, only to find out that when the soldiers got there, they stopped. They were captivated and mesmerized behind the teaching of Jesus, in so much that when they went back to the people that had sent them, the only word they could tell those people when they were asked, "How come you did not bring this Jesus of Nazareth?" they spake these words, said, "Never a man spake like this man." And I could understand that because, as I said on Tuesday, this was God manifested in the flesh. He was a man's perfect God and God's perfect man. This was God wrapped up in a body of flesh, blood, bone, and sinew. And not only that, he is and was and is the great I Am of the Scriptures. He is the glorious royal diadem of heaven. And then he's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega of all things. This is God manifested in the flesh, which is eternal, everlasting. He's the creator of all humanity. That's why they just couldn't, if you will, just go and take him, because he's both Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's the Savior of all humanity that will believe on him. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we found out on last Tuesday that his teachings, his words, his parables, they still confound the proud and the self-imposed wisdom of worldly educators, but yet they are so simple and to be understood that a child could understand them. And the scripture says a fool won't even be able to err, especially if he start believing on Jesus Christ. And as I said before, and to capitalize on our recap, I said that what you may hear in the light of the parables on tonight, that from our Blog Talk audience is not the sum total of what can be gained or understood, but these parables is served here on tonight as a base that you can turn around and continue to search God's word and find out the things that God wants you to know as listeners of Deliverance Live Blog Talk Radio. So God bless you on tonight. I appreciate all of our listeners. I appreciate everybody that have tuned in all through the months. Remember, you can call in your prayer request at 215-383-5866. That's 215-383-5866. For your prayer request, for your questions, you can call in that number, and we will attempt to answer your questions, and at the same time, we will remember you in prayer. All right, but I want to go to our panel. I do believe we got an excellent panel on tonight. And first of all, on our panel, I want to go to Minister Nikki Cuthbert. Minister Nikki Cuthbert, will you give us a panel, or rather give our listening audience a parable in reference to what Jesus taught and tried to get over to people in our day and want to get over to people, I mean, in that day and want to get over to people in our day? Minister Nikki Cuthbert.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Martin. When we were talking about the parables, I was thinking about the parable of the wedding party. And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 through 14, and when I was reading it, it actually kind of stunned me a little because it's the basis of it is basically the Lord sent his servants out and was sending his servants out for people to come to the wedding. And he invited people, and they were like, no, we don't want to come. We don't want to come to your wedding. The Lord's like, wait, I have all these things. I have cake. I have food. I have a fat cow. You know, we can have steaks. We can have ribs, you know, putting in today's time. But in today's terminology, we have steak, we have ribs, you know, we're going to eat, we're going to have a very nice all-out food here. And the people were still like, no, we don't want to. And the Lord sent his servant, and the people actually slew his servant. And we're like, no, we don't want to listen to you. We don't want to hear anything your servants have to say. So then the Lord sent out that, okay, well, since the chosen people that I have chosen don't want to come, I will go out amongst the other people and try and draw them to the wedding. And so he sent his servants out among the other people, and his servants went out and brought in people like fishermen, brought them in and was like, hey, we have a wedding, there's feast, there's food, ribs, steak, burgers, you know, whatever you like, just come on, and the Lord will be there for you, and you can enjoy the food. And they came, but what happened was when they came, there was a person, an individual, who came to a wedding, and everyone knows when you go to a wedding, you dress nicely. Well, there was one person who did not dress at all, nice at all. They kind of just came in with whatever on, and the Lord looked at him and was like, how come you're not, what's going on? What are you wearing? That's not right. So when he did that, he was like, no, you are not dressed. Your attire, you are not ready for the wedding. So because you're not ready, when I called for you, you weren't ready. You are not able to come and be a part of the festivities. You're not able to come and impart and be a partaker of what I have planned. And he casted him out. With that, to me, it was the chosen people seemed to be like the Jews, how they are chosen, but they did not accept Jesus. So God turned, and the Jews actually started to, well, not Jews, well, mankind, period, kill the servants and the ministers of God, and the martyrs and everything like that. And then he went to the Gentiles because the Jews weren't accepting him, so he went to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles were accepted, and they came in. But even with that, I love the 14th verse, which says, many are called, but few are chosen,
which signified that one person who came along because they are called, he came, but he was not chosen. That's why his attire was not right, and he got casted out. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, this is a great story here, a great parable that Jesus taught. We've got to be prepared when he is prepared for us to come. When he's prepared for us, if everything's ready, and then he give an invitation, how insulting is it when people don't take advantage of an invitation? And then, on the flip side, as you spoke, here come a man that this person just wasn't dressed for the wedding itself, and that means also that he didn't have on the right attire, which could be in the scriptures or from a spiritual sense, the clothes of righteousness, and therefore he was casted out. And so we've got to be ready when the Lord say, okay, I'm ready, we got to be ready to come to the feast. I like what you said, everything was ready. All right, Minister April Reeves, I want to go to Minister April Reeves. Give us a parable for our Blog Talk listeners that they may be able to grasp something that will help them in their spiritual understanding. Minister April Reeves. All right. Well, let's move on to Elder Craig. There you are. Minister April Reeves.
Sorry about that. Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. Well, when I think about the parable, I think about the parable in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. And it talked about a widow woman who went before a judge to seek justice. And this judge did not fear God, neither regarded man. And that's what the Bible says. And day after day, she went before this judge to plead her case. And whether the judge overlooked her or found himself too busy for her, he did not acknowledge this woman. So this woman became so persistent that she got on his last nerve. And she vexed the judge so bad with her persistency that he literally had to stop everything that he was doing to resolve her matter. So at the end of it, her request for justice was granted. And so just like the widow woman, God wants us as saints to be persistent and faithful. God does not mind us asking him things over and over again. Matter of fact, he loves it when we do ask him things, and it is his will to grant us our request. And though some people might get weary, some people might get tired, or even some people might feel like giving up, just wait on God. Trust God and know that he hears and answers prayers according to his timing. Amen.
Amen. God says, I'll be gracious. In Isaiah 30 and 19, I will be gracious to the voice of your cry. When I hear it, I will answer you. That's a promise. Answer you. And then he said, call upon me. Jeremiah 33 and 3. In the day of trouble, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. And then Matthew 7 and 7, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. And the Amplified Bible said, ask, and keep on asking. Seek, keep, and keep on seeking. Knock, and keep on knocking, and it shall be opened to you. Don't give up. Be persistent. Get away from that terminology and that so-called doctrine. If you ask one time, if you have to ask two times, whether that means that you don't really believe. Oh, no, Jesus didn't teach that. He taught ask and keep on asking. Jesus taught that there is a thing called supplications where you continually ask until you get an answer to your prayer. I want to go now to Elder Craig Blake. Elder Craig Blake, give us another parable concerning what Jesus taught in the scriptures that, again, may be able to be able to help our listening audience on tonight.
Well, Apostle Martin, I really enjoy reading the parables because, you know, you can read a parable over and over again, and you can catch two different things that Jesus is teaching each time that you read. You know, it's revelation that's found in the parables, and that's why I enjoy them so much. You know, the Bible says that Jesus taught many things by parables. And I wanted to talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, the Good Samaritan is a very powerful parable about love and compassion. And, you know, briefly, it just talks about how there was a man that was leaving from Jerusalem to go to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And the thieves, you know, they wounded him. They stripped him of all of his raiment and everything that he had. Now, a Levite passed by and a priest passed by, and they did nothing to help. But there was a good Samaritan that came by, and he showed compassion on him. You know, one point to make is that they said this man who fell among thieves was wounded. And, you know, as believers, a lot of times we're around people that are wounded. You know, they might not be wounded physically, but a lot of times they're wounded spiritually. And we shouldn't be religious and just pass by. We should have compassion and begin to minister to them and encourage them. The second thing I wanted to note is that the Good Samaritan, he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And, you know, oil represent the anointing, and wine and communion represent the blood of Jesus. So it just lets me know, in order to be an effective witness or a person that's going to encourage somebody else, we have to be anointed, blood-washed believers. You know, we can reach people and we can show love to people the way that Jesus commanded. And then at the end of the parable, he ended by saying, listen, go and do thou likewise. So he was saying this parable is an example to everybody down through the generations that we ought to help one another and show love to one another.
The Lord spake and said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that the love that you show one to another. And then Jeremiah 30:17, God said, I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wound. And as you brought it out down to the today, Elder Blake, how that people today are wounded. God knows there's so many people that have been hurt and wounded, and sometimes they're just needing somebody to take out a moment, take some care, and show some care to them. And I appreciate that, Elder Blake. I appreciate that. Let me give this number again, 215-383-5866. You can call in with a prayer request. You can call in your questions. That's 215-383-5866. We got a good panel here on tonight. And with that being said, I want to go to Minister Antoinette Martin. Minister Antoinette Martin, would you give us another parable that you've read that's in the scriptures that people may be able in some way to relate to?
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. I have the good fish and the bad fish. And I like this parable. To me, this parable is kind of like a warning. And it's saying that, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net, you know, that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and they sat down and they gathered together. And what they pretty much did is threw the net out and gathered as many fish as they could fit in that net and then brought it to the shore. And they went through it and, you know, and deciphered through it, and they threw away all the bad fish and they kept all the good fish, you know, pretty much the fish that were living and the fish that, you know, probably didn't smell bad or whatever. But they threw away all of the bad fish. And pretty much he's telling us that we have to be ready. You know, no man know the day, know the hour when Jesus is coming back. But he is coming back, and he's coming back, and he's going to make a separation between the evil and the just. And it says that his angel is going to come and make that separation, and he's going to throw the wicked into a fiery furnace. And it says that it will be, you know, gnashing of teeth. And it kind of reminds me of a story with Korah and company in the book of Numbers. They were jealous of Moses, and they rose up against Moses. And God was angry, you know, just like God is angry with us now. And from that anger, he told Moses and Aaron to get away from them because he was gonna consume them. And once they got away from him, and he told them to separate themselves from him. And once they separated from him, the ground opened up and swallowed them. And so now in today's time, he's telling us to get away from the wicked and to pretty much make sure that, you know, that we're right. And so I just encourage some people, you know, that's not, that lives is not right yet, to get right with God and, you know, and give your life to God and let him save you so you won't be one of the bad fish. Amen.
The net is gone out throughout all the world. The net has been thrown out throughout all the world. And God is raking in, he's pulling in those good, and he's separating the good from the bad. And that's, as you said, Minister Martin, that's what God is doing. He's making a separation even as we talk here now. The Bible said that judgment must first begin at the house of God. And I want to right now go to Minister Ricky Castor. Minister Castor, give us another parable concerning those things that you've read that may help some of the listeners on tonight.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Martin. I enjoy the parable of the two sons, which was really talking about the will of God. And you'll find it in Matthew, the 21st chapter, around the 28th verse, where a certain man went to his sons. And his first son, he said, son, go work into my vineyard. And he said, I won't go. And then afterwards, he turned and repented, and he went anyway. And the second son, he said, go work in my vineyard. And he said, and the son said, I will go, and did not go. And then the Lord turned to the scribes and Pharisees. He said, well, which one done the will of the Father? And they said, the first. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee that the publicans and the harlots enter in the kingdom of God before you. In other words, it was saying, because, you know, God called them to do the will of the Father, but they talked a lot. They talked about it. They commanded people to do it, but they themselves didn't do it at all. So it shows that it's important that we don't just talk about it, but we do it. You got to do more than just talk it out. You got to walk it out as well, because there's a lot of people in these days time that full of religious ways, and they get to talking about things, but they don't do anything. So the will of God is to do something, not just talk about it, not just say that we believe, but really do something, really live our lifestyle as we do believe. Praise the Lord.
I like that parable, because Christianity is a you do, or the Word of God rather is a you do book. It's you do it. You do it. It's not the hearers of the word that's justified, but it's the doers of the word. And that's what the Lord was speaking as you were talking, Minister Castor. The Lord was speaking, hey, it's time to get busy doing something. Do what God says. And that's where obedience is fulfilled in what we, when we do it, what God has said. Now I want to address Minister Evangelist Yvette Watson. Minister Evangelist Yvette Watson, what have you got to say also along these lines as far as a parable that Jesus spake about that may help the listeners here on tonight?
Apostle Martin, good evening. One of the parables that I really, really have to say that I truly love is when in Mark, the second chapter, when Jesus was eating, the Pharisees and the scribes saw him eating with the sinners and the publicans, and he told his disciples to eat as well. And the Pharisees asked, why do your disciples eat when John and his disciples fast often? And in his explaining to them his reasoning why they were eating, one thing that he said really stood out to me, and that was when he began to talk about the new cloth on the old garment. And in the second chapter, Mark 2 and 21, he said, no man also soweth the piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into an old bottle, else the new wine does burst the old bottle, and the new wine is spilled, and the bottles are marred, will be marred, and the new wine, but new wine must be put into new bottles. And I began, as I thought about that parable, Apostle Martin, I began to think about how we're living in a day and time where people are doing just that, trying to put old wine into a new bottle. when I say that, I mean people have accepted Christ into their lives as their Lord and Savior, repented for their sins, but yet they're still wanting to hold on and stitch or attach on the old way of thinking, when the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 and 23 to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. And then there are also a lot of people are not only trying to hold on to that old mindset, but they're trying to hold on to some of their old ways and their old lifestyle. But the Bible says to us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That means that old way of thinking, that old way of living, the old lifestyle, the old things that you used to do, you shouldn't do anymore, because it said old things are passed away and all things are become new. And this, it reminds me of how when we're entering into a new year, in order for the new year to be different or in order for the new year to have a change, we have to start that year fresh. We can't go into a new year bringing in the old habits of the past year, because it just won't work. And I thought about also, it reminds me of the scripture that you put a difference between holy and unholy and clean and unclean. We can't live a life of salvation and live a life of holiness and sanctification, Apostle Martin, and still hold on to the old way of living. We got to get rid of those old grave clothes and then take on the life of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You can't. I remember some time ago when I was coming up, I took and called myself sewing a piece of old garment onto a piece of new garment. And as the scripture said that you quoted, it just ripped that old garment was actually just ripped to pieces, because it didn't have the strength or the durability of the new garment. And I'm thinking about what you said, the old life don't have the durability and the strength to stand or withstand that actually new change life. When Jesus, that's why when he came into a person, he came into the spirit of the person, and therefore he was looking for if the person to become a new creature based upon him coming on the inside. And so what he does, he works from the inside out to change the old. But I want to come back on this, because we're getting ready to go to break, and I want to come back a little bit on this sometime after break. I want to remind you that are listening, the number is 215-383-5866. We still got some panelists and with some parables that we have not heard from as of yet, but we will get to them on the other side of break. That's 215-383-5866. And for you that are going to call in, go ahead and call in. Get your calls through. And if you that want prayer requests, make sure you get your prayer requests through, even if we have to pick up after the broadcast is over to address your spiritual needs that you may have. All right, but right now let's go to break. Again, 215-383-5866. This is Apostle Gregory Martin, and we'll see you on the other side of break.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed because I was made for so much more. And I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory, by the power of your might raising up my past. Don't think every door, I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for.
There is so much more. together. Come on.
Bless you. This is Apostle Gregory Martin. We're on the other side of break. And I want to go, we were talking about the parables of Jesus, and our panel has been gracious to help us out, to give us an understanding of what they have understood concerning the parables that they read. And I want to right now go to Minister Daniel Martin. Minister Martin, will you share with our Blog Talk Radio audience those things that you found out concerning the parable that you may have read in the scriptures? Minister Martin.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Pastor Martin? God bless you. I was reading the parable of the mustard seed, which is in Matthew 13:31-32. Now, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, and it's like a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and soweth in his field. Now, what he's saying, if we get a vision of heaven, take it. And once he gives us this vision, we take this vision and we sow it into our hearts and we sow it into our minds and we sow it into our hearts and we sow it into our minds and we sow it into our flesh. And let's see what will happen once we get the kingdom of heaven and get the vision in our hearts, souls, and minds. And it said, which is indeed is the least of the seeds. Now, we know that everybody want to go to heaven, but everybody's not doing the process to go to heaven. Everybody want to go to heaven, but everybody's not. Now we're talking about living right and being righteousness and cleaning heart and having a made of mind inside of the Lord. And it says, but when it's grown, it is the greatest of herbs. See, God created a lot of things, and he created a lot of herbs, and he created a lot of the heavens and the earth. But when he created heaven, he seen it was a good thing, and he seen how great it was, and he seen like, hey, this can be shared with a lot of people. So let me build on this, and let me build on it. And he built heaven, and he said, and it became a tree. Now, the kingdom of heaven is like a tree. And everybody know what a tree signifies. It signifies shelter. It signifies home. It signifies security. And that's what it's saying. The kingdom of heaven is like a tree. And when it's saying like a tree, because it gives life, because it gives shelter, it gives everything that we need. And it said the birds, and also in the same scripture said, so the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And see, and what he's trying to say, heaven can be for everyone. White, black, Chinese, once you give your life to Jesus, once you get salvation, once you live a clean heart and clean mind, and what he's saying, heaven is for everyone. And so in this parable, he's just saying heaven is for everyone who walks right and who has a clean heart. Amen.
God bless you, Daniel Martin. We appreciate that. Like you were stating, the kingdom of heaven started out small. But then again, and like that mustard seed, the smallest among all seeds, now the kingdom of heaven is grown, and before it's over with, it'll be a number which no man can number, incorporating all nations and races and tongues and languages of people everywhere. And that's, again, what we are a part of, the kingdom of heaven. Let me go right quick to Sister Yvonne Watson. Sister Yvonne Watson, can you give us a parable concerning those things that you've looked at and studied and dissected and just help us here on tonight concerning that which you've already studied concerning one of the parables of Jesus?
Pastor Martin, yes, I really like the two parables in Matthew 13:44-46, about the hidden treasure of the kingdom and the valuable pearl. It says in verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And this is what this is saying is, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become in his family, in his kingdom. And it replaces any and everything that we thought was of value before we knew him. I don't care what it is. You can be wealthy. You may have a successful career. Whatever it is, you can lose it all and your life in an instant. So we should be willing to let go of anything or anyone for the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes we're holding on to material things or worldly people, bad habits. But God wants us to let that go and trust him. This reminds me of a story about a girl who had a beautiful pearl necklace. And her dad said, I have something very special for you, but will you give me your beautiful pearl necklace? And she's like, oh, no, no, I worked very hard for this. I did extra chores and saved all my money, but you can have my Barbie doll collection. And her dad was like, no, that's okay, and he walked away. A few days passed, and he asked her again, I got something really special for you, but would you please give me your favorite pearl necklace? And she's like, why do you want this? I wear this to church every Sunday, but I'll give you my pony. He says, you know what? No, I don't want your pony. He says, I know how hard you work and save for this pearl necklace, but what you don't understand is I've got something even better for you if you would just trust me. And so she pauses, and with tears in her eyes, she slowly places the pearl necklace into his hand. And right as she did that, he reached into his pocket with the other hand and pulled out a real and genuine pearl necklace. And he said, these are real pearls, sweetheart, but I couldn't give them to you until you were willing to let go of the fake ones. And you see, this is what we've got to do today. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord.
That was a great, great story there. That was a great story. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that hid a pearl in his field. And he sold everything else to get that pearl. That story of the necklace and the little girl that had the fake necklace but didn't want to give it up. God, how so much more is that like people today? Got the imitation, they got the fake, they got that which seemed to be the best, so to speak, of this world. But it doesn't even compare with the glory of the kingdom of heaven and the things that we're going to experience, see, and have there. Matter of fact, the Bible says that eye have not seen, the ear have not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of a man, or if you will, a woman, girl, or boy, the things that God has reserved for them that love him. Now, if our mental faculties, that's what I'm trying to say, our mental faculties cannot conceive what God has prepared for folks in that make it to heaven, God, I can't help but to get there to see exactly what is going to be. I believe that God got something special for everybody that make it. Because God know what you like down here. He know what you like, how you, and if you like a beautiful home, and they've got some plush homes and beautiful structures and then beautiful decor. But yet, heaven got something that super excels whatever man could make. God has made something better for those that make it to heaven. It's worth, they sung a song through the break, it's worth fighting for, it's worth holding on, it's worth fighting a good fight of faith. It's worth laying aside everything, giving up the fake, as you so well put it, Sister Watson, only to turn around to see what God has for us. I guarantee you, God will never disappoint no one that's waiting on him, expecting to be with him and live with him. He will not disappoint your expectation. He will super excel your expectation and just blow what you can even think straight out through the top of your head as far as those things he's prepared for those that have loved him and those that are waiting for his coming. And with that, I want to go to Elder Anthony Mason. Elder Mason, have you got... Excuse me? All right, come on.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Martin. We actually have a prayer request from Sister Cynthia.
Okay.
Putting her through now. Sister Cynthia, you're on the air.
Sister Cynthia, it looks like her
call dropped, so we'll wait till she comes back.
Okay, fine. That's good. She's in Tennessee. Sister Cynthia's in Tennessee, and we appreciate all of our callers, those that have called in from California, those that have called in from Arizona, those that have called in from the Carolinas, and those that have called in from Tennessee, those that have called in from Arkansas. We appreciate all of your calls from wherever you're calling from and wherever you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. The broadcast is designed for our listening audience. And so we appreciate your calls. We appreciate your prayer requests. But while I'm waiting for a caller or Sister Cynthia to return, then I want to go to Elder Anthony Mason. Elder Mason, would you give us another parable concerning what Jesus was seeking to get over to his generation and to get over to ours?
Amen. Praise the Lord, Apostle. The parable I have for tonight is the watchful servant. The watchful servant. It's in Mark, the 13th chapter, about that 32nd through the 37th verse. And I'm just going to paraphrase it because it's too many verses just to read tonight. But basically, there was a master. It's relating to the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture, the return of Jesus Christ for his saints. And basically, there was likened to a man who was taking a far journey, who left his house, and he gave the authority over his house to his servants, to those that he left behind. And he gave everybody an assignment, every man his own work. But he commanded the porter to watch. He commanded a particular person to watch. And they were supposed to watch because they didn't. You don't know when the master was coming back. And you had to make sure that you were ready for his return, that make sure that you weren't found sleeping on the job when he came back and returned to his house. And it's likened to the rapture when Jesus come back. He's like taking a journey. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to come back. And when he comes back, we have to make sure that we are watching, because if you're watching, there's certain things that you just won't do. There's certain things that you just won't allow. There's certain things that you just won't participate in. If you're constantly watching for the master to return, there are just certain things you won't sin. You won't commit adultery. You won't fornicate. You won't curse. You won't lie. You won't just participate in any type of sin, because you're constantly on the job and watching for the master to return. And that's what this parable is basically about. When the master came back home, when he comes back home, he does not want to find his porter not watching the house or sleeping on the job, because there was assignments given to each and every worker that was left behind to do. There's the pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and those people that were called to do a work for God. He wants each and every person to be on their job, on their assignment, so when he returns, you're ready and found without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, so you can go home and be with him when he returns.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Watch. That kind of creates a question. Let me throw it, Sister Yvonne Watson. Let me ask you this question, Sister Watson. What happens if God continues to tell you, like Elder Anthony Mason was saying, to do something or
to watch or to pull your act together or get your house in order, and you refuse to do so.
Pastor Martin, praise the Lord. This is a very dangerous position we're putting ourselves in, because at some point, God will actually give you over to the desires that you so desperately want. He does not want any of us to lose out on eternal life. But when you hold on to anything more than God, then he's going to actually let you have your way. God doesn't push us or make us do anything. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door, he will come in and he will sup with you. But if you don't and you keep that door closed and you think that whatever it is that you have is more important than him, he will let you have that. But there's a consequence with that as well. So we have to really be careful, because while we're thinking that this very moment is so important, we're actually putting it and comparing it to a life of eternity, either with God or without God. So how important is that to you? Would you rather lose eternal life for this moment of pleasure? Because that's literally what it is. You have 120 years tops in this world to enjoy whatever you want. And is that worth eternity? It shouldn't be. So you really got to think and pray, because praying will also ask God to reveal the true nature of your heart. And when you see that it's not where it needs to be, then you have a chance to repent and truly have a heart for God. He wants us to have eternal life with him. Praise the Lord.
Very well said, Sister Watson. Elder Craig Blake, the same question. What happens if God continues to tell you to let go, to pull your act together, to stop, to turn around, and yet there is in that person a refusal to do so? What happens? What do you think that happens, Elder Blake?
Well, the Bible says that he that often being reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So God will rebuke you. He'll prove you, he'll chasten you, and he'll be patient with you. He'll be long-suffering with you. But then there comes a point where you can cross the line, and, you know, God will say, listen, I gave you a chance. You know, I gave you time to repent, but you did not do it. I think about when Jesus was talking about the fig tree, and he said, look, the fig tree, he came and he looked for some fruit, and he didn't find it. The first time, he said, you know what, I'm going to give this tree a second chance, and I'm going to come back again, and I'm going to check it again. And if I don't find fruit on it the next time that I check, then this tree is going to be cut off. And that's how it is with us as you know, people that God, we know his commandments, you know, and people out there that are being rebellious, that are turning away from God, that are hardening their heart from God. At some point, God will leave them to themselves, and that's what happens. So we must make sure we're being obedient to God, that we're living the way that God would have us to live, and that we're doing those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well put, well put. He being often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without a remedy. Like Sister Watson was in a dangerous place to be in. And I want to put this question to Sister Yvette Watson, Evangelist Yvette Watson. How do you persuade a person to do right in if they really don't want to? Is there a way, or you're beating your head against the wall, you're trying to persuade people to do right, and they don't want to do right? Is there a way to persuade them, or should we just leave them alone after a while, or should we keep on trying to, when they're rejecting and don't want to, anything that you got to say when you're talking about the law? How do you respond to that? You got about a minute here.
Apostle Martin, I was thinking how A lot of times we go after people and tell them you need to be saved and you need to get rid of your sins and you need to do right by God, get your act together, get your act together, and you give them the word of God. You give them scripture. You give them testimony after testimony after testimony. But ultimately, the decision is up to them. God gave us all a choice, and ultimately, it's their choice whether they're going to go ahead and decide to listen to you, to hearken unto the voice of God, to hearken unto the word of God, or whether they're going to reject God. After first or second ammunition, then the only thing that we could do at that point is to reject it.
All right. All right. Minister April Reeves, let me ask you this question. What happens then to a person that continues to hold on to the old? We were talking about the old and the new tonight. We continue to hold on to the old and refuse, even though they say it with their mouth, I'm a new person, but they continue to hold on to the old and not let go of the old and not embrace the new. What happens? You got about 30 seconds.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. Well, they end up deceiving themselves. They do harm to their own soul. When you sit there and you hold on to things that God is telling you to let go, and you making that decision and that choice, you are literally killing yourself. God give everybody an opportunity to get it right and to repent and get yourself together. But if you choose to go against what God has said, then you are already endangering your own soul. Amen.
Amen. These are days and times where people are doing just those things. The panel answered these questions, I think, very well. And right now I'm getting ready to pray for our Blog Talk listeners. Let me share this with you. On Tuesday and on Thursday night, here tonight, we dealt with the parables of Jesus. Every parable meant something. Every parable had a spiritual overtone and undertone. It also dealt with how we're supposed to deal with each other. And it showed us what God feels about how we treat each other and what our mentality and our spirituality is concerning heaven and the idea of going to heaven. But right now, let me pray for our listening audience, because we want God to touch your heart and mind, and that you may be ready when Jesus come back again. For surely he's coming. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch every man, every woman that's listening to this Blog Talk Radio, regardless of our broadcast, wherever they are throughout all the country. And God, touch them. Help them to overcome. Give them the victory. Let them know it's not too late, while blood is still running through their veins and there's breath in their nostrils. God, in the name of Jesus, help them to overcome all things. And we thank you for hearing our prayer. Heal the sick. Deliver the captives. Break the yoke of bondage and demonic oppression for those that are going through. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And now, this is Apostle Gregory Martin. I'm getting ready to give you back into the hands of our co-host to have the last words, and we'll talk to you or see you next Tuesday night, if the Lord will.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio tonight. We ask that you join us again for another broadcast on tomorrow night, which will be our Sunday morning replay with the message, When I Wait, preached by Prophetess Tonya Martin. We thank you for listening in tonight. We ask you to continue to listen in. We thank you and appreciate your listening and your joining us every single broadcast. God bless you and have an amazing night. Amen.
Hallelujah, you have won the victory. Lift up your voice and say now. Won it all for me, and I strive. We are healed. Eyes never pierced, hands were freed. Eyes blood, we're washed clean. Now we have the victory. And the power of sin is broken. Yes, he did. He has won. Yes, he has. It all. So every voice. So glad that he's alive. Thanks. You have won it all. And we say death could not hold. Yeah. You're alive and well. Yeah. Yes, God. See, you are the King of Glory.